Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assemble!
Okay, here we go. Starting with James Merrillat at DenverFan.com writing, Camp Comfort is looking like less of a good idea for the Broncos. Hey, the whole idea of taking it easy during the training camp practices, taking it easy during the preseason game. Hey, we want to keep these guys fresh and healthy. Get them ready for December. But yet here we are, only 1 week into the season. Justin Simmons is out for a month. Quinn Miners is going to be out for a little bit. You've had injuries to Jonas Griffith. With everything that's gone down, was the way that training camp was handled, was it the right way to go? Or do you just have to accept the fact that injuries are going to happen 100% of the time? Injuries are going to happen, so you might as well get ready for the season while you have a chance.
Yeah, there's a fine, Mike, there's such a fine balance, as you know, there between, between what's enough and what's not enough. And I always say it, the only way you get in shape to play football is by playing football. So I think there's some merit. I don't think you have to take all the reps, but you've got, probably need some. And look at, how many penalties do you have? What do they have, 12 penalties? Now, I get it, crowd noise and everything else, but just the operation, getting the play in. Getting the play in and getting the play off. They had, three delay of game penalties, and they were up against the clock like almost every single play. That's an operational standpoint of not doing it in games, and then all of a sudden you add, hey, listen, if you're at home, that wouldn't have been a problem. But it was a problem on the road. And you know what? It was one where you probably would have had a little bit better idea, if you will, had you done some of that on the road. So I don't know. I just think you got to play a little bit.
But I don't think this is going to change anything. I think Nathaniel Hackett does the same exact thing next preseason, and his rationale will be, you're right. We've had some injuries right off the bat. Guys like Josie Jewell have been hurt. Randy Gregory moving along slowly. But you know what? I would much rather have these guys get hurt in a regular season game, even if it is week one, then have a bunch of guys go down in meaningless preseason practices or games. I don't think anything's going to change. If you think this is going to be some kind of aha thing and he's going to come back and be smacking heads next August, I wouldn't count on it.
I don't think so either. I mean, I don't think that'll be the case. But I do think even if it's only, a couple of drives during the course of the preseason, hey, man, if Patrick Mahomes can do it, if you're not worried about Patrick Mahomes, then I would say that Andy Reid kind of had it figured out, because they came out and they could have hung 70 on Arizona. And Arizona's supposed to be a good team, although we just mentioned they're overrated.
Yes, we agreed on that.
Yeah, we agreed.
As Jake Shapiro writes at DenverFan.com, Russell Wilson readying for, quote, monumental moment in his Broncos home debut. Where do you think Broncos country is right now in regards to Russell Wilson? How would you describe the relationship right now?
I think they're dating with an option to marry.
Renting with an option to buy.
You're right. They're like, hey, she could be the one.
I want to believe the hype.
Right.
I want to believe.
Yeah.
That this is the next in line, John Elway to Peyton Manning to Russell Wilson. I want to believe, but
I'm, hey.
Not unconditional.
You're kind of like, am I ready to settle down? Maybe I am ready to settle down. Maybe I'm ready to get off the quarterback carousel.
Oh, God.
Settle down. He's the one.
For people who are dating these days, is dating the equivalent of the Broncos quarterback carousel over the last 6 years that we watched during broadcast? Is that the same kind of vibe you get as a dater out there these days?
I don't think
so. Just a lot of Drew Locks and Paxton Lynch's and Trevor Siemian's and...
No wonder just people Case just be like, well, I'm never going to find anybody.
Joe Flacco. Is that what the dating scene is like? Is that what it is like out there for you folks?
You just got to lower your standards. You just got to be like, well, he has a pulse, so, right?
Yeah. Oh, not good.
Yeah, not good. God bless you.
Caden Stern says he's ready to step in for Justin Simmons.
I feel good about that move. I feel every time Caden Stern gets an opportunity to play, he plays great. Don't you feel like that?
Yes, and I'm all into the idea of next man up, but doesn't there have to be a noticeable drop-off? Like, what does it say if Caden Stern steps in seamlessly for Justin Simmons? Doesn't that change the way you view Justin Simmons or the importance of the position or where he's ranked among the top safeties, what you're paying him among the top safeties?
No.
No?
No. If Caden Stearns comes in and plays, I expect Caden Stearns to come in and play well.
And there's not that much difference? Well, then why do you have Justin Simmons? And you should be finding a more prominent role for Caden Stearns.
Well, because Justin Simmons is a better player? Like, listen, what separates, like, what you would hope separates the backup from the starter, you would hope it's not such dramatic drop off that you can't function. What you're hoping is that guy comes in, it's seamless, and that everybody else picks up their game a little bit, you know, and then again, sometimes it looks seamless, but you don't put him in as many positions as you'd have to put a Justin Simmons in.
Biggest thing they will miss not having Justin Simmons out there. The biggest thing is what?
Communication. I think defensive communication, especially at home. Because at home, you're dealing with crowd noise on the defensive side of the ball. And that's a hard thing to communicate. You coming in, home opener against Houston, you're going to hang 86 on them. It's like you got to be able to communicate back there, and it's hard.
That is what is going on at DenverFan.com. The front page, the top stories, as always, available to you with fresh content being added throughout the course of the day at DenverFan.com. And as always, it is free to you.
I have Adam Schefter from ESPN on the line. He heard a rumor.
Oh, great. Tell Schefter to stick his rumor up.
Sonny.
Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, joins us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And right off the bat, Adam, I got to ask you. You were there Monday night. You've been to a lot of NFL stadiums. What was that atmosphere like?
It was what people thought it would be. I mean, it was loud. It was electric. I was standing on the field. When Russell walked onto the field for the first time, and you could hear the boos cascading down before the game, I was outside the stadium, and there were all these 12 is greater than 3 signs. I mean, that they had them in mass. And obviously, there was a lot more booing than there was cheering. And I don't think that that's right, but that's the way it was handled. And when Tom Brady went back to Foxborough, I don't recall them booing. And Peyton Manning back to Indy, I don't recall them booing. And we go on and on of great players for franchises. And Russell meant a lot to that city, but they booed him. I mean, they booed him, and it was incredibly loud. It's already one of the loudest places in the league, and that made it that much more so. It was an electric type of atmosphere. It was very cool to be there. It was a pretty neat night all around, except for the way they ended, right?
Right. Well, that's what I was just going to say, Adam. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to
5 minutes.
You know, just to kick our head coach Wise down. Like, what did you make of that decision to go for a 64-yard field goal as opposed to letting Russell Wilson try to operate on 4th-and-5?
Well, am I going to say anything that you all and everybody hasn't said already?
Probably not, but we're going to give you an opportunity, so go.
You know, here's the thing. I guess what I would just say there is that a new coach comes in, And he's loved right off the bat. Like, people look. You tell me, what were the conversations like on the station leading up to Monday night? People love the guy, right? Love him.
Yes.
And in one night, in a three-hour span, a lot can change. And at the end of that game, with the way it ended, a lot did change. And so I think what happens here is that fans lose some trust and faith. Now, here's the thing. It's up to him. They win, and people over time will forget it. They win, they have a great season, they'll laugh about it. They don't win, they struggle with Houston, and losses start piling up. That's always going to be a talking point. People are going to refer back to it. It just is. So it's up to him to address this and move forward, and he will have a chance to continue to write his story. But he's given them evidence to kind of live off of here for a little while unless they can start winning games and performing well. What's that stake?
I like it. Visit with Adam Schefter. Adam, being there and you being the intrepid reporter you are and you just striking up conversation, do you have anything new to add? Because between the relationship and the breakup and what went into the breakup between Russell and Seattle, because certainly it has been presented mostly that Russ wanted out. I'm curious, in talking to people, is it that clear cut, or what have you learned about why this thing ultimately ended in a split?
Essentially, I think it's like any marriage, right? A relationship ends, divorce happens, and it happens in the end, probably, I think, because both sides are ready to move on. And I think ultimately that's it. Did Russell lead it down there? Maybe so. But let's also remember, as Russell pointed out last week, that back in 2018, Seattle called Cleveland to try to trade Russell Wilson to Cleveland in 2018. The Browns had the first and fourth overall picks in that draft. Seattle, in exchange for Russell Wilson, asked back for the first and fourth overall picks. Cleveland said, we're not willing to trade two ones in the top five for Russell. Seattle would have traded Russell for the one and the four and taken Josh Allen in the eyes of many believers. And stop and think about that for a moment, because Josh Allen would have been in Seattle. I don't know who would be in Buffalo. Deshaun Watson would be in Cleveland. Russell Wilson would be. I mean, you want to play the what-if game, that's a fun one to play right there, that if Cleveland would have made that trade, which, by the way, I think would have actually worked out very well for both teams. Seattle probably would have gotten Josh Allen and been very happy. Cleveland would have had Russell Wilson the last 4 or 5 years. But the trade was not made. Cleveland didn't really get serious with it. And so Seattle shopped him. Seattle was going actively to the pro days of top quarterbacks, which Russell noticed. So, you know, again, everybody's involved in it. Everybody's got a role in the breakup. Did Russell precipitate it early? Maybe so. I can't pinpoint it exactly, but I think when that happens, I think everybody has a role in it.
You know, there's always times after week one where we tend to push the panic button, and oftentimes it's probably a little bit premature, but as Mike pointed out earlier in the show, no 0-2 team went on last year in the extended playoffs with seven teams in each conference. No team that started 0-2 actually made those playoffs, so the Green Bay Packers, I think, number one right now on the panic button list. Where are you with the Packers and some of the other teams that the Rams that started off really slowly and did not look good week one?
So back to the stat, though, before I answer that. No 0-2 teams made the playoffs last year. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And I wonder what the history of 0-2 teams making the playoffs is in recent years, like the last decade or two.
I'm sure it's not good. I mean, I'm sure it's a small percentage, you know, 20%.
Right, I'll jump in. Let me jump in. I'm stealing this, by the way. I got that stat from Andrew Siciliano of NFL Network, and he said in the previous 31 seasons under a 12-team format, 30 teams went on to make the playoffs after an 0-2 start. So on an average, one a year.
Mm-hmm. So it's not
none last year. None last year.
Well, none last year, but we also have one more playoff team. So I think you could go 0-2, and I think you could make the playoffs. It's not what you want to do. Saying that, the Packers, look, I just don't think right now the Packers are as good today as they were last year when Davante Adams played there. Now, maybe Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs will develop into really good players, but they're missing arguably the best wide receiver in the game. The Rams, they ran into a great team on Thursday night. I don't care what anybody tells me. I still think that Buffalo right now is the team to beat in football with the way that it looked on Monday night. I know it's 1 week. I know we're not going to get too excited, and I know it's a long season and anything like that. All that is true. But Buffalo looked like a monster team. And I looked through the schedule, and I said to myself, I don't know how Buffalo loses any more than three games this year. I just don't know how that happens. So 1 week into the season, premature early, fine. I think Buffalo is the favorite to be the number one seed in the AFC, and the road to the Super Bowl will go through Buffalo. That's what I think will happen.
Yeah, well, I'd interrupt you for just a second. Patrick Mahomes looked like he was pissed off. Like, you know,
you know what's funny about that thing? I said that on ESPN Sunday Countdown last week on the pregame show because I had spoken to the Chiefs a few times this summer, and I got that vibe from them a few different times. They're like, this has been a different Patrick. He is mad that, you know, there's all this attention and all the greatness of Justin Herbert and Josh. Nobody was really talking about Patrick Mahomes this offseason. I think that with his life, he got some things kind of tucked away and squared up before he went to camp. I think there's some drama that he was dealing with last year that he may not have to deal with this year. I think last year he was coming off a Super Bowl appearance, MVP, and everybody's talking about how great he is. And I'm just telling you, talking to them this summer, the Chiefs, I felt like Patrick Mahomes was in line for a huge season. And I said that last Sunday on the pregame show. I said the belief within the Chiefs organization is that he looks like a man focused, inspired, and ready to prove everybody wrong with the season he's going to have. And he certainly looked that way on Sunday.
Chopping up some NFL topics with Adam Schefter. Will Lamar Jackson ultimately regret turning down the reported contract offer that would have paid him about $133 million guaranteed? Will he regret turning that down, or ultimately will he get the last laugh?
It's a great question, Mike. And let me say this, that last year, if you had asked me that question, I would say that's a terrible decision, turning down the deal. And I would have been 100% wrong. He was right. We saw new deals given to Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr. I'm forgetting some others, Deshaun Watson. That changed the market. So now that the average top quarterback deal is somewhere in the range of, say, $45 to $50 million a year, lots of guarantees, I mean, the money really has gone up. I was 100% wrong last year. And my tune will not change one bit, and will be even stronger. And I based it off the fact that I spoke to some teams and I spoke to some agents, and I didn't hear, well, I don't say anyone. Most people were of the mind that it is negligent to turn down that much guaranteed money and our contract that large. Now, I may be proven wrong again. He may stay healthy. He may win MVP. They may win the Super Bowl. And he may go get a $325 million contract, fully guaranteed, and then he wins. But I would still say this. Even if he were to win, and you're turning down $133 fully guaranteed dollars at the time of signing with a deal that includes somewhere around $180 million guaranteed or a $250 million deal, my point would be, does the difference between $250 and $325, $180 and
250, is that going to change your life that much? That you want to risk that for an injury this year with your style of play? Like, to me, it's bold, it's brazen, it's courageous. And in the opinion of multiple people that I spoke to, I don't think that they think it's overly responsible. But that it's his life.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. All right, you were in the bold prediction business, and as we let you go, I've got a really bold prediction. The starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys in 2 weeks will be none other than Jerry Jones. That's he's going to appoint himself. That's my prediction. What do you think? Any chance?
Think anything's possible in Dallas. Let's put it this way. We don't know that Cooper Rush is the answer. So if he's not the answer, then maybe Jerry Jones is.
Yeah, you never know. You never know, Adam. Hey, man, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for popping on. Always great talking to you.
Where are you this week, Steve?
This week I am in San Francisco for the battle of the number one Seahawks versus the last place Niners.
You'll get to see Brian Greasy, Anthony Lynn, a lot of people. You'll see a lot of familiar faces this weekend.
Absolutely. It's going to be great.
Pat McPherson in Seattle. A lot of ties to the past for us.
Yeah, there is no question about that. It should be a great game, a lot of fun, and it's great to see Geno Smith play well and kind of exercise some of those he's not going to be able to do it, demons. So fun to see. It'll be fun to see him and talk to him as well.
Enjoy that game. I look forward to listening to it. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. All right, there goes Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider. He is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Let's just get this right out of the way. Okay, I don't know if you're trying to get me on an O'Reilly or what. You're not exorcising demons. You're not taking demons out for a walk. You're exorcising demons.
Oh.
Okay?
I have exorcised the demons.
They say it wrong all the time.
Yeah, it's exor.
Exorcised?
Exorcised. So not exercise. You don't exercise.
I do.
Let's go, boys. We're doing some push-ups. Deep knee bends.
Line up.
Fall out, demons.
All right, demons. Bend over, grab your ankles. We're going to stretch our hammies.
Yeah, I exercise. Okay, I just want to make sure, in case you were thinking about using that during the broadcast, I just want to avoid a...
Exorcise.
An awkward moment.
It wouldn't have been awkward.
Well...
I say a lot of stupid things.
Okay. Fever, tell me you got that.
Yeah. A lot of dumb stuff.
Tell me you got that.
I've made a living saying stupid things.
That's true. It's part of your charm. It is part of your charm.
Just a big galoot.
By the way, Adam Schefter joining us. A reminder with the game coming up tonight. It's week two of the Fan Football Pick'em presented by King Supers. So make sure you get to 1043thefan.com and make those picks. How did you do last week, by the way? Stokely won.
Yeah, I was... I think Stokely won with 10.
Yeah, it was very bunched up.
I had 9.
You had 9. I had 8.
Oh, you suck.
That's horrible. No, I did not suck.
That's horrible.
No. If you look at the leaderboard, who sucked was Scrappy Will Peterson, James Merrillat, and Zach Bye all sucked. They had 6.
Oh, they're awful. They outthought themselves, huh?
Nate Jackson, Sandy Clough, Chad Brown. Had 7. I had 8. John Davis had 8. D-Mac had 8. Cecil Lammy had 8. You had 9.
Yes.
Orlando had 9. Noshon had 9. Brandon Stokely, Andrew Mason, and Matt Smith are our leaders at 10.
Oh, so Stokely hit the score.
Yeah, tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker score.
So make those picks for week 2. I got the Chiefs tonight, right? You gotta go with the Chiefs. Chiefs at home.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is the up yours tour for Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is mad. He's angry. Boy, did you watch him play?
Yes.
Yeah, it just brought back the boogeyman fears for me.
Well, in some respects, understand where I'm coming from here, Broncos country. In some respects, I was happy to see the way he played. Because I did not at all buy the idea that, oh, he's losing Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, what's he going to do?
Now we're going to see his demise.
Now he's going to be exposed. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
if you are a great quarterback, if you are supposedly, you know, the next big great thing, Tyreek Hill needs you more than you need Tyreek Hill. And what the great quarterbacks will do, the elite, super elite, the greats, the goats, the potential goats will do, the Hall of Famers, they take what they got and they're like, okay, I'll work with these guys. I'll make them better. And he will.
Yeah.
He will. And now he's being told that the Chiefs are no longer the team to beat. He's no longer the best quarterback. Yeah. It's all about the Bills. It's all about
the Chargers.
Josh Allen. It's all about Justin Herbert. It's all about Joe Burrow.
He feels slighted, Mike.
And now you got Patrick Mahomes with a chip on his shoulder. Great.
Mm.
Great.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. And he's got a frog in his throat.
Yo, he does.
It speaks volumes to this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Johnny got us.
The frog in the throat is still there.
Yeah. Almost sounds like Columbus.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes and Tyler Columbus having a conversation.
What if they had a show together? What do you think?
You're so mean.
It's a good thing I'm leaving town.
You're
today.
So mean. Funny, but mean.
Yeah, it's a good thing I'm leaving town.
Funny,
today.
But mean.
Yes.
Coming up, will we see a completely different Russell Wilson after what we heard yesterday? First, though, if you have tickets to Sunday's game, we've got a chance for you to join us beforehand for a VIP experience at Mile High Station during the Fan Football Pregame Show. Be caller number 4 right now, Mark. You cannot call. You're not eligible. Be caller number 4 right now at 303-713-1043, and you'll win 4 VIP passes to enjoy food and drink before Sunday's game with us at Mile High Station. These are not tickets to the game, but a special VIP experience with me and DMAC at Mile High Station beforehand. Good luck. Caller number 4, 303-713-1043 to win. Next.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
What is this that you're so big?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big is big. Big is huge.
Look, I was ready to move on from Monday night. Nathaniel Hackett gave his sort of admission that he was wrong, but you had to listen to the second part. Everyone jumped on the first part. Hey, if I had to do it all over again, yeah. But then what was then said that wasn't because we missed the kick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Don't want to plow over that old ground again, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm prepared to move on. But then Russell Wilson comes out yesterday and says, yeah, I wish that he'd given me a chance to have the ball in my hands. In fact, I had a play call. In fact, it was going to be a pass. And the fact that they were standing there at the line of scrimmage and guys were moving around and looking around. And even Hackett said after the fact, yeah, I was a little worried that we're going to jump offside.
Right. It would have been better for us if we would have jumped offside and made it 3rd down and 10. Because then fourth down and 10. I don't think they would have tried to kick a
69-yard.
Yep.
No. Well, I don't know. Who knows? But I'm sorry. Tell me why I'm wrong. Okay, we like to play. Tell me why I'm wrong. You've been in thousands of huddles. What I heard from Russell Wilson yesterday was that not everybody was on the same page. That the plan that everybody supposedly had agreed upon, that, hey, 46-yard line is the magic place to be.
Uh-huh.
And that's, we all agree, we're going to kick a field goal. After listening to Russell Wilson, I didn't sense that at all. Did you? You know what it's like to be in that situation. I don't think that the plan, everybody was on board and understood what the plan was.
I don't think that everybody agreed with the plan. That's what I don't think.
obviously, why would you agree with that plan? That's a dumb plan. It's a bad plan. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, do you believe in your kicker? Sure. Do I believe my kicker from 64? No. I mean, the odds of making, we already gone over the odds of making that. So, you know, I mean, how many times did you see the how they put the ding, 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 ding on Peyton Manning's hand? How many times he called timeout? Okay, I'd like to talk it over right now. Ding, 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 ding. Let's get a timeout. And it's just going ding, 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 ding. It was like 28 times. He was like, before they finally called a timeout.
With increasing urgency each time.
Right. And ultimately, yeah, call timeout. Hey, man, this is it's the most critical moment of the game. The most critical moment of the game. Does it not deserve a discussion with time left on the clock? I mean, what, like, letting the clock run down, what was that going to do for you? So you're telling me if you kick it, let me just say, if you kick it, well, I guess what you're saying, if we make it, we kick off to them, right?
Our special teams have been bad all night.
Right. We saw what happened with Kansas City giving up, Buffalo giving up a 13-second, you know, field goal attempt. 13 seconds to go all the way down the field. So I guess you could have that in your mind. If you knew you were just going to kick it anyway, like, that's the only explanation, right? But I do think that at that particular point in time, again, the odds of going down the length of the football field with 50 seconds left are pretty slim to none. But that's you know,
me. We've gotten some texts here. So over talking about this. Can't you guys move on? You guys just going to continue to live in the past? When are you going to start talking about the Texans?
Yeah. What would you like to know about the Texans?
You know what? Here's what I want to know. You got to tell me about Christian Kirksey.
Yes.
I need to know about Christian Kirksey.
Yeah.
Tell me his strengths, weaknesses. Break it all down for me.
Yeah, I think he's from the University. Is he Texas A&M, Christian Kirksey?
No.
He's not?
No. So we're already failing in our breakdown, our exciting breakdown of the Houston Texans.
He's not
that everybody's clamoring for.
He's not the receiver? Christian Kirksey is the receiver?
Are you trying to get me in an O'Reilly again?
No, I don't even know.
Christian Kirk is the receiver.
Oh, that's who I was thinking.
Christian Kirksey is the middle linebacker for the Texans out of Iowa.
Okay,
he's a hung, young individual.
I was thinking
down the Texans.
I was thinking Christian Kirk is who you were asking me about.
No.
Because he's the receiver that came from Arizona.
Here's why it matters. Here's why this discussion all week matters, okay? Because we are in a three-rookie coach losing streak here in Denver. And if you can't watch that game Monday night and see some of the same signs that plagued Josh McDaniels, Vance Joseph, and Vic Fangio, then you haven't been paying attention. And so you're talking about first-time coaches that proved beyond a shadow of the doubt that they ultimately were in over their heads.
Yeah.
So watching how Nathaniel Hackett in his first game handled it and the lessons that need to be taken from Monday night and what needs to be learned has a huge impact on how this season is going to play out. It just does, folks. Yeah. It just does. And what were the lessons that were learned? I mean, you say we're beating a dead horse. I don't think of that at all, especially when Russell Wilson comes out and talks in a way that to me listening is, no, I did not agree with the decision.
Right.
Hey. And this idea that we all had this agreement on the plan is BS.
I think that you look at the history that we have had here with those coaches that you mentioned. And listen, man, there's like Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio spent a week consulting with the Philadelphia Eagles and Jonathan Gannon, who was one of the finalists here as the next head coach. Like Vic Fangio, there's nothing wrong with Vic Fangio's knowledge of defense. He's incredible. Like, that dude knows football. There's no question. But as a head coach, he was, you know, he was a failure. It did not work out. There's no other way to put it. You know, you end up having to fire the guy. And game management was a serious, like, it was a serious blunder on a week-to-week basis. And to start off your tenure with an incredible blunder like that just brings back memories of, you know, Vance Joseph having the time of his life and Vic Fangio, you know.
Death by inches. Ooh, death by inches. I love death by inches. This is a real coach.
And so when you rock right back in and then you have Nathangio, right?
Right.
And you go to Nathangio. I mean, we're trying to create Nashanahan.
Texter. I'm with the last texter. I want to hear more about the Texans. All right, Mark, tell me about tight end Pharaoh Brown. I do like the name. His first name is Pharaoh.
Well, I heard he walks like an Egyptian.
Boom.
You're not going to get analysis like that anywhere else, folks. No. By the way, I do have to point of order. I'm glad I'm leaving town. You might not want to hang around.
Yeah, I'm
Columbus.
I'm feeling the heat right now.
Yeah.
You and I both got texted by Tyler Columbus, with a very simple message. Happy. Don't ever make fun of Mount Columbus again. No smiley face emoji.
No
exclamation point.
Wasn't joking.
No ha.
No.
No LOL.
No LOL.
Just don't ever make fun of Mount Columbus again. I think I just peed down my leg.
Yeah. That is like getting a thunderbolt from Zeus.
Mike Tomlin would not be impressed by me.
Right?
Because I just did.
Yes.
Pee shiver.
Right.
I don't fear sudden death, and I never have.
Right from the top of Mount Olympus, right? Where Zeus lives?
Yeah.
Columbus. Just up there. About to ready to rain down some thunderbolts on you. Catch. Just.
What would the Columbus and Mahomes talk show sound like?
It would be like. And then it would be like.
Compelling stuff.
Yes.
Tune in. If, we want to give you another chance to win VIP tickets to Sunday's Fan Football Pregame Show going on at Mile High Station. D-Mac and I are back together again.
Hoorah.
For another year of doing the pregame show. And we are going to be doing the show, the home games at Mile High Station. And we're going to have a special VIP section set up for you to hang out before the game. Now, these are not tickets to the game, but a special VIP experience to hang out at Mile High Station before you head on over. So, take caller number 4 right now, 303-713-1043, and you'll win 4 VIP passes to enjoy food and drink before Sunday's game with us at Mile High Station. Good luck.
Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 1043, The Fan.
You know, for all the Texans are like, move on to the Texans. Start talking about the Texans.
I don't want to talk about the Texans. You know why? You know what's good about this Broncos team now? How about this for optimism? The Broncos have graduated to a place now where many of the teams they play, I don't really care about what those teams do or what they present. Because as long as the Broncos handle up on their own business,
right. They're
going to win. So to me, it's not... I don't know. I'm not really. The Texans are going to be lucky to win 4 games this year. So to me, it's just, did the Broncos learn the lessons, and right. What were the lessons to be learned from Monday night? That's all I care about.
The Texans have already exceeded expectations. They tied the first game.
Correct. They are ahead, way ahead of schedule.
They've had that's a success for the Texans. They're awful. Right? Nobody has any expectations for the Texans.
No. That's all you need to know.
Right.
You want a scouting report on the Texans? They're awful.
I'll give you a scouting report. Their quarterback has a really long neck.
He does.
Oh, wait. Now the text line's going to say, you're bullying people. We got some snowflakes on the text line today. Like, dude, take a pill. Relax. Kind of, you know, enjoy the tomfoolery and hijinks.
Correct.
Not everything is like, oh my, like we got some people that woke up today. 8 a.m. texters is what I blame them.
Yeah.
They have woken up this morning waiting to be offended by something. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
the amount of snowflakes we have on the text line today. Broncos will, I think they'll go 30-plus on Sunday.
30, yeah,
I think they'll score 30-plus.
Yeah, no question.
This to me feels like a 30-13 game. So are you confident that the Broncos learned? And what were the two or three biggest lessons other than we're not going to try a 64-yard field goal again when
right.
It's 4th and 5? Put that one aside. What are the two or three biggest lessons that were learned? Because Hackett kept talking about this yesterday. Hey, we've identified all the mistakes. We've cleaned them up. We've addressed them.
Yeah.
We're moving on. So what were they? Give me two or three.
I think offensively, one of the biggest things is the operation. Getting the play in on time so that you can operate the line of scrimmage and have plenty of time to manipulate the clock, to use your snap count to your advantage. One of the things about getting the call late, Mike, is you can't use your snap count to your advantage. You're just over there, you know, Russell Wilson's just clapping away trying to get the ball, right? You can't use it to your advantage. So, like, the operation, to me, needs to be much cleaner. And obviously at home it will be cleaner because you can hear stuff, right? It's not, you don't have all the crowd noise that you have to fight. But that's a huge observation. And the one advantage you have as an offense, really honestly, the only advantage you have, especially as an offensive lineman, is snap count. I use it to my advantage so they can use that to their advantage. I think the other thing is, from a balance standpoint, you saw that you could run the ball. So be balanced. Continue to like, that's going to help. That's going to help you. And then red zone wise, right? Clean up your red zone mistakes, clean up your red zone execution, and go into the red zone. I think to me, the red zone to me is, because you're playing, to me, you're playing against 12 defenders. The back line of the end zone is the extra defender, right? Because you can't go over the top in the red zone. So you're playing against 12. So to me, you have to use deception. How do you use deception from play design standpoint? Deception to me is, show us the same thing, but have different plays or different, like, play action stuff. And so everything comes in and looks the same, but is different. That's how you create deception, and that's how you get guys to bite up. That's how you get guys. When you show them different things all the time down in the red zone, guess what? They have a different adjustment for all that stuff. So again, I'll tell you, red zone is like a pitcher. Show me a pitcher with 4-plus pitches, right? And he's hard to hit. But show me a pitcher with 4-plus pitches from 4 different arm slots, he's easy to hit. I don't want to be easy to hit. So deception becomes very, very important. So that's what I would say needs to be cleaned up from last week. Or this week, I guess. Monday.
I have to admit, this has been a tough show for me.
Why?
Looking over at you.
Why is that?
Because it's a different Mark Schlereth.
Oh, I don't have a hat on.
You don't have a hat on. And it's really thrown me at times.
I know.
Folks, you Mark always has a baseball cap on, but you have a speaking engagement later this morning, and So you didn't want to mess up that fine lettuce. You have a great head of hair.
Thank you.
You have a different look about you.
I showered this morning. Then normally I don't shower either in the morning. I just brush my teeth. I throw on a little pit stick, squirt some cologne on just so you can get a whiff of me.
It's noticed.
Thank you. And then I come in here. Anyhow, that's just every day. But today, because I am speaking and then I'm running to the airport after that to go, do my game in San Francisco, I am putting on I don't have a hat on.
You know, I didn't notice this until somebody brought it up, but have you noticed that at 6 a.m., during the 6 o'clock hour, very little talk. In fact, I didn't get anything on the text line about move on from Monday night.
Right.
I want to hear about the Texans. None of it during the 6 o'clock hour. Just a little smattering in the 7 o'clock hour. But have you noticed?
8 o'clock texters are miserable people.
And one of the texters has our back. Mike and Mark, I got you. To the 8 a.m. texters who just woke up and don't like to hear about accountability for Hackett because it reminds them of the constant disappointment they see in their mother's eyes as they stumble upstairs from the basement to make their egos, shut up.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, texter.
That's right.
Couldn't have said it better.
Yes, that is, you know what? That is 100%. You just wake up and you're just reminded of how miserable
you
are.
So you're saying the 6 a.m. texters, they don't mind talking about accountability. No.
But the 8 a.m. texters don't want to hear about accountability?
No, they don't. Because you know what they're going to do today? After they have their ego, they're going to play their video games till about noon. Then they're going to need a nap, right? And then after a nap and video games, I mean, you're exhausted from all that work. So you probably have to go get a massage. Get the carpal tunnel syndrome out. Get some dinner. What's mom making? I hope she's making something I like. Hate it when she cooks that rice stuff.
All right, we are on to Houston, and the biggest takeaway is relax, okay? Broncos got this.
Chill.
I think this is a different Bronco team.
Relax.
I think Nathaniel Hackett will learn from the mistakes that were made.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
And that the heat he faced will make him a better coach. So for all of you who think that, hey, why have you been? I think the heat has been delivered, and the heat has been felt, and the heat will make him a better coach quicker. And I think it'll make this team. I think what happened Monday will help speed up, microwave,
the development
of this team from a mental standpoint, and from a understanding of okay, the stakes are high here. People are holding our feet to the fire. They have high expectations, high demands of us, and I think it sucks to lose, but if everything got sped up in that everybody over there understands, hey, it's go time for this organization, well, maybe in the long run, this will end up being a good thing. How about that?
For optimism, huh? I like it.
Okay, go slam there in your talk.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk to you from San Francisco tomorrow morning. We'll turn things over to Chad and Nate next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.